Yeah, I think that's going to be kind of how the second half goes here for the Tigers. That's Sunday. It's when they gave away, lost 3-4 to the Royals. But Saturday was great.
Saturday was electric.
Jim Leland saying, go win the effing game. They put up his 10 on the bricks. They come back a couple times in the game, including the 11th. Like, and the crowd was great, and it makes me sad. I know that's weird because it was a fun moment for the crowd, but it makes me sad that it's the exception. It's, but at least we have Saturday. I wish that was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday all summer long again. I hate that this city is that hungry for baseball, that hungry for good stuff, and Sunday is more of what the second half of the season is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, because you have two pitchers, Montero and Skubal, that you know are scheduled to start. When is Reese Olson going to be available? What is we know Casey Mize is not going to be available, if at all, this year.
Yeah,
it's you're looking at three starts in every five games where you're like, okay, well, you know what? You get a chance. Hey, we know you pitched a couple of years ago. You want to come back and give us five innings? That's what it feels like.
If you're listening and you're a reliever at Wayne State back in the day, get your mitt, keep your phone by you. Yeah. You might be getting a phone call.
Loosen up the arm.
Loosen it up. If they win two of every five games, they'll be a 90-loss team.
Yeah, 49 games left.
Yeah.
If, you know, because as it stands right now and you're looking at their record, they are a team that is 53 and 60. Got number problems.
A little dyslexia there.
With the 49 left, if they go 19 and 30, which seems, I don't know, it might even seem ambitious.
Yeah.
That puts them at 90 losses. So are they going to be somewhere in that 90 to 95 losses?
Where they don't even win 70 games. Momentum and stuff. I can't help it, guys. I can't help it. I'm sorry. And I hear about momentum. I don't think it's happening at the major league level to close out the season. Scott can highlight the minors. I think the minors can be, far from a guarantee, as we've seen. The other thing is we had a ticket texter bring up that Dickerson compared this to a small market team. I hope that's not the reality that we have to live in. I really don't. I don't expect the Yankees or the Dodgers payroll here in Detroit, but I've seen this team have a payroll 10, 12, I mean, even top five when Mike Ilitch was really getting frisky with it. This team in the coming years should field an average payroll. And we know the fans will go out to the tune of $3 million through the gates. They'll support this team. They'll show up and make it a fun place to be all summer long. And I just keep going back to one thing Scott Harris did say. And I disagree about the timeline or lack thereof, but he said heavily spend once the core is in place. He didn't just say spend, heavily spend around the core once they're in place. So I filed that one away, and that is the anticipation that I have, is that this team has not run like a small market team for very long.
Well, and again, it comes back to the ability to spend. And if your ability to spend is, you know, in the top 10,
sure.
Not saying you got to be top two or even, you know, higher than that, but if you're a team that should be in the top or can be in the top 10, then no, you're not a small market team.
I don't think they're going to be a small market team. I truly believe they'll float somewhere between 8 and 16 financially once they get a little bit more competitive. I mean, we got to remember, they spent on Javi.
Right.
They spent poorly.
Yes. Well, that's the other key, is like the GM has to do it, president has to do his job. You have to spend, but also spend wisely.
Right. And that was a humongous contract. I mean, he's still owed over $70 million as we speak right now, which is just absolutely incredible. I said this to you guys in a break. I think next year is going to play out the way that Jim wanted this year to play out.
Where there's some bats that they add.
Yeah, and I think 26 will play out like you think 25 should.
Okay, so they're a year
behind.
And
you're just asking for a little more patience, but you did file that away. Is that going to be strike three? I want to know what strike three is going to look like.
If they don't, if their payroll is under $100 million going into next season,
ooh.
I mean, I want to see what they do, but that would be a huge red flag to me.
I also think sometimes, don't get hung up on a number like that.
I know.
Look, if they piece together something and,
they trade for a younger, cheaper bat who helps them, yes, there's some built-in understanding that that's not an official declarative statement. You have to spend $100 million or I want him fired. But there does need to be a clear add offensively this offseason. Yes. And I don't care about blocking guys who aren't even here yet, which that's a whole separate issue.
One of the more intriguing things I'm actually looking at just the rest of the year is how Parker Meadow is going to play.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge thing. I actually think he's the number one reason why they won't lose 90 games is because he's actually going to contribute into the lineup and that he'll help the pitching. They'll get Green back. Colt Keith will continue to play well. And I just think in general, I know we did this when they went on that swoon before July. We talked about 90 losses and the way they scrapped. I still think that's within the clubhouse, even though maybe the pitching's not quite there.
Yeah, I think over the weekend I was looking at the betting market because I'm a sicko, and their win total was 76.5, which felt high to me. But I think some of that is they count on this team to scrap and claw and steal a couple that they probably shouldn't.
I would say that's a very smart number. Like that's a. I don't know why you'd be betting on it because I think it's a real good number. I could see it being 75. I could be seeing it 78.
Somewhere between there.
Mm-hmm.
Texter says, "Morning guys, how'd Jack Flaherty do yesterday, Dave, at work?" Boy, that's salt in the wound. Did you see what he did?
No.
He was cruising. 6 innings to shut out baseball, 7 strikeouts, 1 walk. He was filthy. I mean, we know he's very good.
Yeah.
Everybody knew that.
Yeah. And we don't need to rehash what we thought about the trade deadline.
No. Ticket Texter says, on the mattress stuff. It says, was the mattress well used or even used? I have a spare bedroom. It's got a new mattress and a bed, was used for a week or two, never used again. We can't assume all 5-year mattresses are
the same.
The same.
Right. And it goes back to what's their return policy? If their return policy says after 5 years
you
want to return it, then why would anybody? I just don't understand why anybody would have a problem with this.
Well, you can, right? So you can. That doesn't mean you should.
If that's what the return policy is, why not? Like, that's where I just don't understand.
No, you can. There's something about it being a mattress in my head makes me think, well, no. But then I think, okay, well, I go to hotels and sleep on mattresses, right, and I go to Airbnbs, or if I stayed at somebody's house, I'd sleep in their guest room, and it doesn't matter. But there's something about the thought of a 5-year-old mattress
being returned.
Yeah, I don't like it. But I get it. If they're allowed to do it, go for it.
Yeah, it's within the policy.
Yeah.
Texter says, on Amazon, you can buy a mattress and return it, get your money back, and keep the mattress. What?
Yeah, they do that a lot on Amazon, where they're just like, you know what? You keep that item.
We're not going to do anything with it anyway.
Yeah.
Texter says, if it's a Serta mattress, they have a lifetime return policy. And then another one says, once a mattress leaves the store, it cannot be resold. It's against the law to
do
so.
Oh, it is? Oh, good. That's good.
Makes you feel better about the mattress you're buying.
Yes. That's good.
And it's the idea that I assume a 5-year mattress is gross. To the first ticket texter's point, it might not be gross. I just don't know what the store is taking it back for. I think you returning
if it's
something
their
that's
policy.
I know they have to. Anyway.
I just don't understand what the big story is here. If that's their policy.
The story is someone was bold enough to take them up on a 5-year used mattress return policy. It's bold by the customer. It's a little audacious.
It is. I don't think many people are doing this, even though it is allowed.
Okay. Well, then that's again, it's up to the individual. If you don't want to do it, then fine. Buy yourself a new mattress and throw that one away. But if it's within the policy, take your mattress back, get your refund, and do what you want with them. You don't even have to buy a new mattress. You don't have to buy a new mattress there, unless it was a gift card. Was that how the return was?
They got a gift card. Yes.
Okay, so
spend it back at was it Costco?
Yeah, they had to spend it at Costco.
Let's get to Omar in Clinton Township. Omar, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. I just want to elaborate on the Tigers' downfall right now, and maybe John can build on this. But I noticed since the trade that the whole atmosphere just changed. I mean, Javier Baez was hitting the ball, and they was doing, they was more on the upswing. But ever since they did that trade, it just seemed like, these guys have lost their mojo for right now. It's almost like what happened with the Eagles last year, where they was winning, then soon they added Matt Patricia over there, they just started losing games. So I was wondering if John ever experienced that during his playing time.
Well, the whole trade deadline, it wasn't as big as it is now in terms of adding, and it's not as big in the NFL as it is, and we haven't experienced it here because the Lions haven't been good until now. We start talking about the trade deadline. But I don't think Javi Baez going to back to what he was is a result of the trade deadline. And I don't think anybody is going to sit here and say Matt Patricia is a great coach. And, you know, that's all part of it. I think the question that he was asking is, if your team sells,
what's the impact?
What's the impact? What's the mental impact of, well, the team doesn't think we're going, you know, the franchise itself, the front office doesn't think we're contending for a playoff spot. They've sold off as many good parts as they possibly can. Yeah, it can take a mental hit in the clubhouse or in the locker room. There's no question it can. I don't think it's going to change individual guys. Like, I don't think it affects Parker Meadows and what he's trying to do. Because
Cole Keith.
Yeah, they're all trying to make their name.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to change Riley Green. He's a ball player.
I think it makes them less competitive because they lost good players. Jack Flaherty's right. A good player. I don't know that guys are going to mope and hang their head. I know he wasn't saying it to that degree.
But 3 out of every 5 games, when you have no idea who your starting pitcher is going to be or how you're going to even get through 9 innings with a pitcher on the mound, it will have an effect on you.
248-539-9797. We're going to get into the Lions in the 9 o'clock hour. A decision the team has made. Your biggest concern, it's 97-1.